Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman in the studio. Joining me today is Bob Luz, Bob of the Massachusetts Restaurant Association. Welcome.
Thank you for being here, Jonathan.
I'm here. I should say thank you for coming back.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Sure. I know it's been a little while since you've been on the air, but obviously it wasn't that bad because you came back for more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great to have you here. And as always, your organization doing some wonderful things. You guys are really busy. We see a lot going on. You had the New England Food Show. You had your awards dinners.
Yeah.
You want to tell our listeners a little bit, talk about it? I know you've got a lot of budding entrepreneurs in the industry.
Well, that's that is the exciting, story of the restaurant industry. It's a place where you can certainly grow from the dish room to the boardroom, and just a lot of business owners come out of the industry. A lot of good things happen. I mean, obviously, the restaurant scene here in the greater Boston area throughout Massachusetts is continuing to expand and explode.
A lot of investment capital as well.
Yeah, it's not inexpensive to open these places, and there's a lot of really good stories here in the city, and a lot of growing strong regional players that I would say getting a lot of recognition. We just, as you said, we completed our New England Food Show last week, which is the largest trade show in the entire Northeast. We had over 40,000 square foot of exhibitors, had over 10,000 industry professionals walking through buyers. Great 3 days. So it's always good to see everybody at that point.
You never leave hungry. That's the good news at the food show.
There's certainly good samples and a lot of grazing that occurs while people are walking around to see, you know, what's new and what's different, so that we can always change it for our very valued guest. And so great 3 days, just to, you know, instead of hitting hit submit and using the internet, people in the restaurant industry like to have a fist bump or handshake and see their business partners and see each other and build relationships. And that's what it's all about, really.
So in conjunction with the annual food show, you also do an awards?
We had an annual awards dinner. We have that every year on the Monday night of the show. And this year was kind of special. So we have five awards that we give out that evening. So nominations come in from across the state. Then there's a selection committee that goes through those to make the ultimate decisions. Business partner associate of the year is actually a friend of the show, Al DiNapoli, an attorney in Boston with Tallow Breed. Truly a wonderful individual that's been a terrific volunteer for the MRA and for the and a great spokesman for the restaurant industry. We're real excited to see him receive that award. Al's actually on our board of directors.
A worthy recipient.
The Martignetti Companies. It was funny when the nominations came in. Over and over, you saw Martignetti helps me build my business, and just a truly a great organization, and they were feted. The kind of neat part happened on our three restaurant awards, if you would. It kind of took a James Beard twist, and we announced the James Beards are like the Oscars for the restaurant industry, and we actually announced our award winners 3 weeks before Beard announced their finalists. So the executive chef of the year was a gentleman named Jamie Bissonnette. Jamie's involved in Coppa and Toro, two very highly acclaimed restaurants. And, oh, by the way, he won a James Beard 2 years ago. Two other entrepreneurs, Joanne Chang of Flower Bakery and Cafe, was voted Best Limited Service Restaurateur of the Year. And then Restaurateur of the Year went to Garrett Harker, who owns Eastern Standard, Island Creek, Oysters, Row 34, just opened up here on Brookline, Branch Line, opened to Row 34 up in New Portsmouth. And then the Hawthorne, which is sort of a speakeasy over in Kenmore Square. Great, great people, very, very well deserving, and both Garrett and Joanne up for James Beard Awards. So it's pretty cool.
Well, and all three of them well-known in the industry and locally anyways, and sounds like nationally and soon to be international.
Yeah. And they all have great backstories. You know, you look at Jamie Bissonette at age 19 down in Hartford, Connecticut, kind of wandering through life, playing in a rock and roll band, and his bandmates realized he was better at cooking for them than he was playing guitar, so they kicked him out of the band. He went down to the Florida Art Institute, got a degree in culinary. After a couple of years, traveled, ended up in Boston cooking in some great restaurants. Now he's partners in two great restaurants here and one down in New York City with Ken Oranger. Joanne Chang, this story amazes me. Very, very smart individual. Comes out of Oklahoma or Texas, I can't remember which it is, with parents that came over from Taiwan. Very smart, goes to Harvard University, small little school across the river here, and graduates with a degree in applied mathematics and aerospace or something like that.
How to gets apply a, it to recipes.
Yeah, huh? Gets a great job in a consulting firm making, I think, six figures. And instead of following what you would normally do in that field and going back and getting an MBA, she decides, I'm going to follow what I'm passionate about. Applies to all the great restaurants back in town, you know, a number of years ago, and lands a $7.75 an hour job cooking bar food over at Biba. And
not a bad place to cut your chops.
Not a bad place to cut your chops, but imagine that call home to mom and dad to say, hey,
I'm making eating really
little,
well, but
I'm making a little career change. And then Garrett Hacker started, went to school. He's down from Baltimore, went out to school in California. Ended up back up here because, like a lot of us, he was chasing a woman back then. He's not afraid to say that. And started waiting tables at Legal Seafoods, and that's how he got to Boston originally. Made another stop, got into management, came back to Boston, worked for Barbara Lynch at Number 9 Park, you know, fantastic restaurant, and then decided it was time to go out on his own, and now has, you know, probably six of the hottest restaurants in the greater Boston area. So these people all started in hourly positions and have really grown and now employ hundreds of people here in Boston.
I wanted to touch on that because, you know, you talk about really cutting their teeth, so to speak, really, you know, with back of the house, menial roles and have worked their way up to become entrepreneurs, as you said. And it certainly sounds like, at least in Garrett's case, employing, you know, into the hundreds, if not more.
Oh, yeah.
Across his establishment. So really... you know, fine entrepreneurs, business people, and not an industry that's easy to stay on top of your game.
No, it's really not. I mean, everybody, TV, as opposed to radio, has sort of glamorized cooking. Not that radio can't glamorize it, but it's a lot better when you can see it, touch it. It really took an industry that when I started in it, you know, my father was scratching his head and saying, are you going to get a real job? And, you know, that real job, you know, has worked out pretty well for me 35 years later. And I still love it every day. And, you know, people that come into our industry don't necessarily have to be Joanne Chang and have a degree from Harvard University. You can work real hard. And if you treat people with dignity and respect and treat your employees really, really well, and then in turn, they do a great job of treating their guests well. People can really strongly into middle income and beyond. And again, in Massachusetts, we employ directly in the restaurants and hotels and the food and beverage industry, not the people that supply the industry, just within those four walls. We employ over 10% of the workforce here in Massachusetts.
Wow.
So it's an economic driver for the state of Massachusetts. It provides wonderful incomes and a lot of times second incomes for families with very flexible work hours. And sometimes we get wrapped around a little bit, by big union labor and others that want to bemoan the fact that we pay a sub-minimum wage to our servers, you know, for instance. And we do. And the reason is because you and I pay nice gratuities when we go out. And again,
the servers I know are all making 50, 60 bucks an hour.
They're the highest paid people in the restaurants, yeah. Usually more than the general manager. Yeah. So it's a wonderful field. But most importantly, and this is why I got into it 35 years ago, and it's why I still love it today, it's a job where people can grow to any level that they want. They really, really can. And that's what I love about it. There's so many careers made. There's so many people that do so well for their family and then go out and create other jobs. It's really cool to see.
And the other thing that's really special, I think, about it is most of them tend to be very immersed in their communities as well. And they take care of their communities. So, it it sort of goes both ways. You know, people are very passionate about restaurants that close in their communities and support the owners. But tell us, what are you seeing? You know, one of the challenges, obviously, as we alluded to earlier, is capital, and it's very expensive to open a restaurant now. How are people getting started? What's the key? It used to be people said, you know, location, 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 and when you go back and strip everything else away, you have a good location, you're going to make it. It's much more complex than that today.
Yeah, it is. You know, one of the interesting things is, and this is actually going to be something we have to be concerned about as well as we go forward. There's a lot of developers that are looking for the next hot chef to put in their new development, their new
a lot of hotels.
Building.
A lot of
hotels, office buildings, lifestyle communities, apartment complexes.
They want to gobble up the shelves.
And they do. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One reason is because of the absolute explosion of the internet and how easy it is for us to shop online now, you're seeing less and less brick and mortar buildings that used to populate these neighborhoods. And the thing that is pretty unique about the restaurant industry is you can't internet out. I mean, I always tell people, you know, you get great job security. You know, if you're going to culinary school, you know, you're not going to be technologized out of a job in the restaurant industry. And so restaurants are there, and so there's a lot of attraction for new developments to put them in. So now all of a sudden we're getting seed money from some of these developers, which is great. You know, the one thing that gets me a little concerned is not every great chef is necessarily ready to run a $2 or $3 million business. They make great, great food.
There's a lot of elements to it, though.
Yeah. And so we just got to be careful as we do that. And I think they are. And I think the good news is a lot of the chefs that are recognizing that if they don't have that experience, they're asking for help. But that is one of the concerns. But there's different forms of capital that are becoming available to people that want to get into the restaurant business that probably weren't available, you know, 5 and 10 years. Certainly not 5 years ago, when not a bank on the street would loan a restaurant.
And it seems to be a lot more that have the appetite today. No pun intended. The other thing that I'm noticing is you know, there are obviously trends that come and go in the industry. You know, concepts that come and go. What's the secret sauce, if you will, to a staying concept, to, you know, maintaining something? You even see very high profile marquee restaurants that have been around for, you know, 10 and 20 years. I mean, you mentioned Biba earlier. That's an example of something I thought, well, you know, it's certainly an interesting concept and it had a lot of staying power. It went away. What are the ones that sort of endure, you know, that are able to carry them? Are they reinventing themselves to stay relevant, or they just have something that is just so, you know, consistent that people keep flocking back year after year?
Well, first of all, you have to have dynamite food. You know, that goes without saying. You know, at the end of the day, you can't serve bad food and be in business 20 years later. I think what you're seeing is the restaurateurs that do really, really well, and there's a lot of great examples, do reinvent themselves. They don't just sit there and say, you know, everything's the same and people just keep coming through my doors if I just keep doing what I've always done. They look at it, they reinvest in their business, they stay on top of trends, but they don't shy away from what their core business is. Great example, a couple of great examples here in the city that people know very, very well. You look at Roger Berkowitz with Legal Seafoods. Legal Seafoods is still Legal Seafoods, but if you notice what he's done recently, it's now Legal's on Mystic, Legal's Harborside.
They've localized Legal's, it.
They've totally localized it. And each concept takes on a little bit different flavor, and they're trying to blend into the community. You know, I don't necessarily agree with his I'm not a chain advertising campaign.
Interesting recent campaign.
Yeah. But I think he's done a very, very good job of really taking his restaurants to the neighborhood. He has LTK. He's got different brands.
Continually reinventing
Legal
himself.
Legal C-Bar up in Linfield. And really done a great job with that. Steve DeFilippo, Davios, just turned 30. Why? Because he stays on top of his game. He trains his people like there's no tomorrow. He gets great loyalty out of his team. And his team takes tremendous care of every guest that walks through those doors. Mm. The hospitality there is unbelievable. And the food that Rodney Morello puts out as his corporate chef, second to none. Mm. And they've been doing it for so long. They continually reinvest in the business. They change it up. They make it feel relevant.
And I'd imagine with the pace of change that goes on in today's marketplace, it's increasingly difficult to do that. You know, the ones who succeed are really stars in and of themselves to be able to do that. And great, not only creative culinary people, but obviously business people and entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Restaurateurs.
Man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get out to the suburbs and you look at even, some of the chains, local chains, 99 restaurants. I mean, that thing's been around since 1953, yet they have 64 locations just in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And they fit into every neighborhood. And they change so it feels different and it feels like a neighborhood. They reinvest in their business. They used to be green with no windows, and now they have a ton of windows, and I think it's a brown and bronze exterior. So
need to evolve continually.
Need to evolve and make it feel very, very comfortable for the guest.
Fabulous. Well, obviously a lot to talk about, an industry that goes through change, and you guys are doing wonderful work. As you said, employing close to 10% of the population in the Commonwealth. That's a pretty amazing stat. It means you have a neighbor somewhere within three or four houses of where you live that's in the industry. I know I do.
Yeah.
I know I have a restaurant manager that's my neighbor. So, you're absolutely right. And the more you peel it back, the more you see it.
Yeah.
So it's phenomenal stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. It is. We had Governor Baker was one of our keynote speakers last week, and he stood up to a packed room and said, I got to tell you, I have tremendous respect for everybody in this room. And the reason being is he's never met an industry that has to be more flexible and adaptable than the restaurant industry because of those changing guest expectations. So.
Absolutely. Bob, it's a pleasure. We welcome you back and look forward to the next time. And maybe we can showcase some of these new restaurants and opportunities and concepts and trends, et cetera. I know that you have a lot of big industry conferences on an annual basis. If listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Sure. They can. Our website is www.themassrest.org. My direct dial number, at the office, 508-573-4199.
Excellent. Bob Luz is the Mass Restaurant Association. A real pleasure to have you on, and congratulations on 35 years of doing great things, and look forward to the next 35 years.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And we'll be right back.